Well, a second time's the charm. Good Friday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Our show this morning is brought to you by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call, 910-251-6088. We'll have more from The Law Group coming on in a little while, coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Don't forget that you can listen to the podcast 24/7 on demand in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. That's also where you can sign up for our new daily email. It's called The Morning Line. Gets delivered at around 6:30 weekday mornings, and you can just subscribe to that. It's completely free. Just head on over to the website nickcraig.com. There's a little button on the bottom where you can sign up for, or actually it's right on the top of the page there, get daily North Carolina headlines and political episodes. You can subscribe to that completely free. We're trying a couple of new things out. That is available again over on the website, nickcraig.com. Well, yesterday, President Donald Trump made his way to the Federal Reserve construction project that is ongoing in Washington, D.C. And this has been something that has actually been discussed for quite some time. You have to go back a couple of years to look at this massive renovation project that the Federal Reserve was undergoing. And of course, like anything that the federal government does, it is a project and something that is going on, of course, continually, because as we know, anything as it relates to government takes forever to accomplish. I mean, the simplest task in the world. Hey, let's go sharpen a pencil. Takes 17 years to get done and costs $1 trillion to do because, well, we can't just, you know, use the pencil sharpener. We need to come up with a new environmentally friendly way to sharpen pencils. So we're going to conduct research all across the globe to find a eco-friendly pencil sharpener solution. And, you know, then we'll figure out how to actually make brand new pencils. And the next thing you know, you've spent $1 trillion trying to sharpen a pencil because that's how the federal government operates. So you've got the Federal Reserve and their headquarters in Washington, D.C. in a massive, nearly $3 billion renovation. Not construction, not brand new facility, a $3 billion renovation project. Now, to just put this in the scope of how much things cost, and construction, yes, we know is very expensive. The Buffalo Bills are in the process of constructing a brand new football stadium, an entire football stadium. That project is not even going to cost $2 billion. The former Oakland Raiders moved to Las Vegas back a couple of years ago and constructed a brand new football stadium in Las Vegas, Nevada. That facility cost somewhere in the ballpark of like $1.5 to maybe a little bit more billion to construct. We're talking about entire football stadiums, entire sporting venues are coming in at half the cost of not a new construction for the Federal Reserve building, but a renovation project. It would be like the equivalent of you buying a house for $100,000 and then spending $1 million renovating that $100,000 house. Not tearing it down and building a brand new structure. You buy a 1,000 square foot, $100,000 home and spend $1 million renovating it. That would not make a whole hell of a lot of sense. That would not be a smart financial thing to do. If you have $1 million to spend on the renovation of a $100,000 home, you're probably better off buying a home that's, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000. That would be a smarter use of your money than spending $1 million renovating a $100,000 home, right? Nobody would do that because it would be absurd and absolutely ridiculous. But nevertheless, federal government. So the Federal Reserve is looking at anywhere between $2.7 and $3 billion for this renovation project. It was first rubber stamped by the federal government back in 2021. And I had to think to myself, what was going on in 2021? Yes, Joe Biden was in the Oval Office. So this was a Biden era push and a Biden era project that, as you can imagine, was rubber stamped. Right? This was around the time of the aptly named Inflation Reduction Act. This is around the same time that individuals were screaming for relief from the federal government. needed support, wanted support from their government to continue, you know, I don't know, paying their bills, putting food on their table. So this is around the same time that we are trying to reduce inflation and cut costs for American consumers. The Biden administration rubber stamped a multi-billion dollar project for the Federal Reserve to do renovations of their building. Andrew Levin, L-E-V-I-N, a professor of economics at Dartmouth College and in New Hampshire, referred to the project as, quote, the Federal Reserve is building the Palace of Versailles on the National Mall, referencing the long deposed French monarchy's official residence just outside of Paris, noting that Congress must put its foot down and take a closer look at this to determine what authority the Federal Reserve has to spend on this building. This individual, Levin, not only a professor of economics at Dartmouth College, but served on the Fed's board from 1992 to 2012. So 20 years on the Fed board. Costs have ballooned by over 30% from a 2019 estimate of $1.9 billion to complete, with all of the work set to be finished sometime in 2027. Planning documents from the Fed posted online blame the, quote, significant increase in costs of building materials that far exceeded standard cost escalations. You know, there's like this concept, right? The boy who cried wolf. You've heard this story before, right? You've heard this nursery rhyme or whatever you want to call it. The kid is crying wolf every night and there's never any wolf there. So the town folk eventually ignore him. And then eventually there is a wolf there and it eats him because nobody believes him. Why is it every single time that the federal government does any project of any size, any scope, any scale, this always happens? And it's the same lame, sorry, stupid excuse every time. Material costs increase significantly. Every time. Every single time. You don't see this in any other, or in the vast majority of other construction sectors. Jobs are done around the time when they're supposed to and pretty damn close to budget. Pretty close. I get it. Construction, it's a tough industry. Things are consistently moving. It's very dynamic. So sometimes costs overrun a little bit. Sometimes costs are actually not as high as they were expected to be. But a 30%+ increase in construction costs? So there's two things that can possibly happen when you've got something that is so egregiously expensive like this. There's really two options and two ways that this unfolds. Either A, the architects, the individuals that were tasked with putting together this project, the individuals tasked with not only doing the architectural work, but the behind the scenes procurement and coming up with this proposal are completely incompetent. And as you can imagine, what the groups hired to help the Federal Reserve reconstruct their facilities, I'm sure we're making a pretty penny on the dime of the federal tax of the U.S. taxpayer who was paying for all of these architectural studies and work to be done. So those people are either completely and totally incompetent, or the federal government just doesn't care about costs. Now, it can be a mix of both, but I'm tending to lend myself to the mindset that it is probably more of the latter, that the federal government just doesn't care. And there's this phrase that is used in business a lot. It's called scope creep. And it's used to describe when you set out to do something, like, I don't know, build a widget, for example, right? We'll use widget as the term. And so you've got this goal of just building this widget. It's relatively simple. And the idea, the notion of scope creep is that in the process of building said widget, you have an uncontrollable expansion of the project scope. What originally was supposed to be a relatively simple thing to do, and maybe not even simple, but a relatively straightforward project, becomes this ballooning situation where instead of just building the widget, you're now in the process of manufacturing the machinery to build the widget. You're now in the business of refining the raw material to build said widget. It's called scope creep. And what it does is it means that the project's goals, the requirements, and the actual product increase beyond anything that was deemed reasonable or responsible early on. This is a serious problem that business deals with, as, again, you know, business has plenty of concerns in the free and open market, and it's something that is worked on significantly. It's something that businesses have to keep a very close eye on, because if not, what is supposed to be something relatively simple balloons into this uncontrollable animal that ends up costing 5, 10, 15 times what it was supposed to, all in the name of scope creep. And I would suspect that if you look at this Federal Reserve project, this new rehabilitation of the Federal Reserve building, it's likely scope creep. The architects were sat down and were told, here's what you need to do. They did it. And then as the Federal Reserve and as construction has gone on, you know, we'll just add this thing here. We'll just add that thing there. And the next thing you know, you're 30%+ over budget. So the project right now is estimated somewhere between $2.5 and $3 billion. And it's completely out of control. So President Trump has been talking about this for quite some time. Yesterday, after Jerome Powell first ignored White House staff's request to visit the Federal Reserve building, Trump said, to hell with you, Jerome Powell. I'm going to visit myself, and you're not going to have an opportunity to duck me and slither away into some corner. So President Trump packed up his bags from 1800 Pennsylvania Avenue and drove over to the Federal Reserve building and toured it with Jerome Powell in a very interesting exchange that unfolded as that meeting began.
The reason why we wanted to see it was the overruns of the expenses. We wanted to figure out why.
Yeah. So we're taking a look, and it looks like it's about $3.1 billion. It went up a little bit, or a lot. So the 2.7 is now 3.1.
I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, it just came out.
Yeah, I haven't heard that from anybody at the Fed.
Yeah, it just came out.
So Trump's handing Jerome Powell a letter from his pocket with the costs.
I don't know who does that.
Now, you're including the Martin renovation. You just added
our entire capital plan.
Yeah, you just added in a third building. Is what that is. That's a third building.
Well, no, but it's a building that's being built.
No, it was built 5 years ago. We finished Martin 5 years ago.
It's part of the overall work.
It's not new.
So we're going to take a look. We're going to see what's happening, and it's got a long way. Do you expect any more additional cost overruns?
Don't expect them. We're ready for them, but we have a little bit of a reserve that we may use, but no, we don't. We expect to be finished in 2027. Yeah. We're well along, as you can see.
Nice to take these off every once in a while when we're not under too much danger. So, any questions?
So there's this back and forth exchange. Obviously, Trump has had a relatively heated relationship with Jerome Powell over the last couple of weeks. He continues to put pressure on the Federal Reserve chairman to lower interest rates. We'll get into some of his commentary on that here in just a few minutes. So it's not been the greatest relationship with Jerome Powell. Of course, you know, as it stands in Washington, D.C., there's always rumors. There's always anonymous sources speaking to the media. And so you've had over the last like 3 weeks, anonymous sources saying Trump's going to fire Jerome Powell. And then a day later, anonymous sources say that's not true. And then the day after that, more sources say he's going to fire. Then people come out and say, no, we're not firing Jerome Powell. So that's been a little bit of the relationship over the last couple of weeks. Trump continues to state that the Federal Reserve chairman and the Federal Reserve itself is not lowering interest rates when they should be. And that's causing continued high prices for American consumers, not directly with inflation, but when you look at interest rates and the impacts that it has, predominantly it affects the housing market. When you've got mortgage rates at 6, 7, 8%, which is what they have been over the last couple of years, it becomes incredibly more expensive to buy a home. And you go back just 5 or 6 years ago, mortgage interest rates were 2.5% to 3.5%. You're now looking at rates that have doubled, if not tripled, over the last couple of years, meaning a house that used to be relatively affordable, now with the increase in interest rates, now it's completely unaffordable for American families. Trump continues to put pressure on the Federal Reserve, continues to call on them to lower interest rates to provide some relief to the American public, And to this point, that has not happened. I think the Fed's got a meeting coming up next month. And from, again, the rumors and the anonymous sources, that federal interest rate is expected to stay the same. Except the one difference is that apparently members of the Federal Reserve Board, not all of them are going to vote in favor of keeping the interest rate at exactly the same. And we're going to get some details on this, so working with a guest for next week to discuss a little bit about this and the impacts that that has. And so I lay all of that out to bring to you the relationship that exists right now between Jerome Powell and President Donald Trump. It is anything but a friendly relationship. The fact that Jerome Powell, from reports, ignored White House staff's request to tour the facility, Trump said, screw it, I'm just going to go myself. And that's exactly what he did. Getting a great comment coming in on our Rumble live chat this morning. Trump is used to talking about building and renovations with contractors from New York City, Chicago, and Atlantic City. I can't believe Powell even tried to correct him about the building timeline. And so that's where I want to get into next. And it goes into some of the other clips from Trump. After this, Jerome Powell slithered back into whatever corner he lives in, and Trump held the rest of the event himself, because Jerome Powell doesn't have any interest in this. I mean, he is persona non grata with President Donald Trump, and he just doesn't want to be in the limelight. And he got embarrassed by the president. And it's important to note, because this is something Trump actually knows about. Now, he's the president of the United States, sure. But this is a field and an industry that he has literally spent his entire life in. This isn't some random thing that he's gotten briefings on and, oh, there's an advisor in the White House that tells Trump about it, and then Trump has kind of a, you know, a tertiary understanding of it. Construction, renovations, major grand projects like this Federal Reserve building are things that Donald Trump uses, or not uses, but President Donald Trump has spent his entire adult life in. Construction in New York City, construction in Washington, D.C., as was noted in our Rumble chat, Chicago, Atlantic City. It's insane. It's, you can't claim that Trump doesn't know about construction. Now, of course, the left, who has an incredible amount of hatred and despises President Trump, they will, of course, give him credit for nothing. It would be very hard for anybody to argue that Donald Trump doesn't know about construction, is not capable of managing construction projects. You can't argue that. I get you don't like the guy. I get you think he's destroying your so-called democracy that you say you care about so much, so on and so forth. I get all of your stupid, ridiculous talking points. Hard to argue that he doesn't know anything about construction. So as the tour continued with President Donald Trump, he talked a little bit about this construction buildings. And here was him just moments after this, that first clip we watched, him slamming Jerome Powell after Powell notably left the meeting, as he obviously wanted nothing more to do with it. Here's the president and Tim Scott yesterday.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. And it feels very good, actually, to be back on a construction site. You know, if you remember, not so long ago, we rebuilt the old post office into the Trump Hotel, and we sold it to Waldorf Astoria. And it was a great success, and we had great luck with the building. We did a good job. We built it quickly and relatively inexpensively for about $200 million. And that was a big hotel, big, big project. But we looked around, and Tim Scott's here someplace. Tim, come on up. You saw what we saw. And yes, the big thing is to get it done. They have to get it done. They have to get it finished. And very importantly, we have to get interest rates lowered in our country. Our country is the hottest in the world right now, but the one section, people are pretty much unable to buy housing.
Yes.
Because the interest rates are too high. We have no inflation. We have a lot of cash coming in. The tariffs have been unbelievable now.
Thanks,
people that didn't even believe in tariffs are saying, what a great move that was. We have hundreds of...
So President Trump, again, continues to hammer down, continues to bring forth the concern of interest rates on housing and why that is such a big problem, talking about the unaffordability of the housing market right now. And, you know, you look at an average 30-year fixed rate mortgage, it's somewhere between 6.6 and 6.8% right now. And so when you look at, you know, that interest rate compared to the two and three quarters a percentage that it was back just a couple of years ago, you are looking at adding hundreds of dollars per month to a mortgage payment, depending on the size of the house and what you're buying it for. It could be thousands of dollars a month on a 30-year fixed rate loan. And so the president understands the impact that that's having on the American consumer. You know, and of course, you look here at Southeastern North Carolina, not only do you have high interest rates, but you have absolutely exploding property values. Some homes literally doubling in their value over the last 4 or 5 years. You add those two things together and it becomes completely unaffordable to buy a home. It becomes completely unaffordable for an American family to look at the process of home ownership. It becomes a very, very tough situation. And so the president continues to talk about the frustration of that, continues to talk about the issues that are existing. And, you know, here's a great chart from consumerfinance.gov of all places that shows the interest rates and the impacts that it has on a median sale price home of $355,000 in 2021 with an interest rate of 2.65%, you were looking at a loan of about mortgage payment of about $1,600 a month. And that's, you know, PMI and everything associated with that. You then jump to late last year where you had interest rates at 6.2%, and that similar home, that similar mortgage payment is now $2,400 a month. So you're looking at an increase of what, $800 a month in your mortgage payment? That makes the vast majority of housing unaffordable. And that's what the president continues to harp on as it relates to the Federal Reserve, continues to harp on Jerome Powell, lower the damn interest rates. And of course, you know, from the Federal Reserve standpoint, they continue to say that, oh, we're trying to get down to our benchmark rate. We're trying to do this. We're trying to do that. And many folks, I think rightfully so, are starting to wonder if these decisions, if the discussions that are happening over interest rates are starting to become political. I mean, you had interest rates being cut, lo and behold, just right before the election period to try and provide some relief to the economy. And I think a lot of folks are seriously questioning whether or not these decisions are being made from a true financial perspective, or if they are being made at least somewhat from a political perspective. And I think that's a fair question to ask. I think that's a fair thing to wonder in our unfortunately hyper-politicized environment that we live right now. You know, here's HUD Secretary Scott Turner just a couple of days ago talking about this exact issue and the impact that it's having. HUD, Housing and Urban Development. Take a listen.
Well, I want to see responsibility and not negligence. I don't want to see personal vendettas. The American people deserve to be able to afford to buy a house. First-time homebuyers, refinancing. So we need interest rates to come down. The president, Congress, you know, from a fiscal standpoint, are bringing costs down. Now, from a monetary standpoint, we need interest rates to come down. Even at HUD, we're taking down regulations, freeing up developers, freeing up localities to build. We need 7 million units of housing in our country, Maria. And so when interest rates remain high, this is crippling building and it's costing the American taxpayer.
And that is the reason that we're seeing the housing market really unable to participate in what we're expecting or looking at to be something of a boom in the economy right now.
Yeah, you'd think the median home price right now in America is over $400,000. That's a 21% increase since 2023.
And that's the median.
That's the median.
Yeah.
And so you have people, you know, middle America, middle-class families working hard to take care of their families every day, having to spend 30 to 50% of their earnings just on their mortgages or their rents. And so they can't even afford to buy a home if they wanted to. And so I think that Mr. Powell needs to bring down interest rates. And if he can't bring them down, then you know what? Step down so that someone responsible and who cares about the American people can get this economy.
And there you go. I mean, there you go, right from the source. I would call this guy a subject matter expert. I mean, he's the head of housing and urban development. Scott Turner knows a little bit about housing. I would argue he's in that position for a reason, and he's calling out the same nonsense. So back to yesterday, and Trump's visit to the Federal Reserve Building, where costs have just completely run out of control. Then back to the cost, back to how the project got so out of control. Here's President Donald Trump.
Number of construction sites. Did you see mismanagement going on or funds that aren't?
Well, I see a very luxurious situation taking place. Let's put it that way. And I was given a very nice tour by the head of construction. And, you know, look, if you look over here, they're trying to open up the basement. When you open up a basement, first of all, it's the worst space. Always a basement is the worst space in a building. And it's also the most expensive space to build. And especially here, because you have a water line, you know, they're going down into the water. So they have to build a reverse, what's called a reverse bathtub. The water has to be kept out. It's very expensive construction. So it would have been good if they didn't build it. Would have been good if they didn't do certain other things. If you look at the kind of protection in the hall, have you been able to get in the hall? You saw the protection of plywood. I mean, that was a lot of money just to protect it for a period of time. I would have done it very gingerly and easily and not have just spent, you know, millions of dollars on protection. And there are things that could have been different. Look, there's always Monday morning quarterbacks. I don't want to be that. I want to help them get it finished. It's been going on for years, and I want to help them get it finished.
So there's the president, his commentary there on the building. Again, a subject matter, an industry that he knows incredibly well, an industry that he has spent the vast majority of his adult career working in, an industry that I would venture to say he knows a whole hell of a lot about. It gained him the incredible amount of wealth that he has, almost all of that coming from real estate development and construction. So if you're somebody listening that is not a huge fan of President Donald Trump, put all of that, put your personal feelings for the president aside and just look at the industry in which he has spent his career in. And yeah, you know, just in one small example, he talks about while the renovations are going on, they've purchased, you know, millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of plywood to just plaster all over the place. What happens when the project is complete? Well, they take the plywood and they get rid of it. And so, you know, those are just small things here or there that the president is talking about. And again, these are things that the federal government just doesn't worry about. And it's not even a federal government issue. I mean, this happens in state and local governments too. I mean, look at the monolith that they've constructed here in New Hanover County in the parking lot of the strip club. I mean, you walk in that facility, it's just gaudy and ridiculous. And it comes back to the quintessential problem that we have with government: needs versus wants. The Federal Reserve Building was very old. The Federal Reserve Building needed to have maintenance done on it. I am not oblivious to the fact that as a piece of infrastructure, as a facility like this ages, you need to spend money to modernize the facility. There's discussions of, you know, making it more ADA compliant, so on and so forth. All of that stuff needs to, that is a need. If you've got an old building that is starting to have issues, then you need to spend money to fix it. There is no question about that whatsoever. But when it transitions from need to want is when you look at somewhere between a $2.5 and a $3 billion price tag, which is what this building is looking like right now. The plans include a rooftop garden terrace, skylights, water features, a brand new elevator system that allows board members to be exclusively dropped off in their VIP dining suite. That is not things that are needed to be done. Those are wants. There's 3,000 people that work in the building, in the Federal Reserve Building, the William McChesney Martin Jr. Building, which is the one that is under the renovation. 3,000 employees, and they're going to spend $3 billion on its renovation project. Does that sound like it is a need or a want? Does that sound like something that is required for the continuation of the Federal Reserve, which, by the way, I'm in favor of completely absolving the Fed? I think, and these calls have been growing over it's been an ongoing issue, but over the last couple of months, you've seen more and more individuals now signing on with this notion that it's just time to get rid of the Federal Reserve. To hell with it. It's not mandated. It's not necessary. Time to just get rid of the Fed. And so that is something that I could see, you know, potentially happening over the next couple of years, maybe. And so then you'll have a $1 billion building now sitting empty and vacant because the Federal Reserve will have been abolished by the administration. That's great. Needs versus wants. Some more commentary coming in on our Rumble live chat this morning. Luxurious. Why should a government building be luxurious? Good quality, yes. Luxurious, no. And so therein lies the issue that exists with government. I've been of the mindset for quite some time that any government, whether you're talking about a local government like the city of Wilmington in New Hanover County, the city of Wilmington in this skyscraper in downtown Wilmington, the county in this monolith building in the parking lot of a strip club, those two facilities are absurd. Government should have functional, good quality facilities. They should be at the cheapest real estate that is available, and they should be the cheapest building possible. Not garbage quality. I don't want the buildings falling apart. I don't want you to have to spend hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars a year on maintenance. That's not what I'm advocating for. But you don't need luxurious palaces. But for whatever reason, this happens all over the place. It's not just a federal government issue. There's this want by individuals in elected office to be in these palatial estates, penthouse suites in the city of Wilmington, city skyline views. It's not the role of government. It's not the role of government to have palatial estates to look down on the peons like you and me and rule over us. It's just not the place and not the role of government. So you've got the president, who is rightfully so, pretty ticked off about this whole process, pretty frustrated by what is going on right now. And I think he's absolutely spot on. The Federal Reserve is losing money. The Federal Reserve is keeping interest rates high, keeping everything inflated. Yet here we are spending $3 billion, not on brand new construction, but on the renovation of an already existing building. It is absurd. It is the quintessential definition of the federal government being out of control. When Donald Trump campaigned on and talks about waste, fraud, and abuse, this project at the Federal Reserve is the quintessential definition of it. It's not necessary. It's not required for the continued operation of the entity. It is nothing more than government bureaucrats spending taxpayer money because they have no vested interest in it. And we see it all the time. We see this discussion and we see these projects consistently. And it comes down to the simple fact that the individuals that are supposed to be good stewards of our money, the individuals that are supposed to be responsible with cash, with taxpayer dollars, are not fiscally responsible. They're incapable of saying, maybe we don't need a $3 billion renovation project. They think they're owed it. They believe that it is their right to have this project. That it is their right to have this Palace of Versailles that exists in Washington, D.C., so Jerome Powell and the rest of the federal board members can hop on their VIP elevator so they can go have lunch. Really? When I'm dealing with issues at my home, when I'm dealing with home improvement projects, I'm always trying to figure out how to save a buck. Always trying to figure out what can I do to lower the costs on this. Does government ever do that? Very infrequently, very rarely. And the end result is those individuals feeling like they are entitled, that they are empowered to go forth with such a ridiculous project. I'm glad Trump called Jerome Powell out on it. I'm glad he called the Federal Reserve out. It's something that, again, he knows a lot about. And it is unfortunate that we're here. But at this point, the damage is done. I mean, the construction is underway, the renovation is underway, and they are, of course, opening the basement first, as the president says, the most expensive, most useless part of the building, the basement. That's what they're opening first in this grandiose project that was rubber stamped under the Biden administration back in 2021. So let me just look real quick. I don't exactly know when the next Federal Reserve meeting is. I think it's sometime in the month of August. Let's see, January, June, July, not exactly sure when their next meeting is. It should be coming up here presumably in the next couple of weeks. And With that, you will likely see a similar situation take place. Actually, no, their meeting is coming up next week, actually, July 29th and 30th. So it'll be next Tuesday and Wednesday when the Federal Reserve is set to meet once again. All rumors, all indications, they're going to keep interest rates exactly where they are right now. Trump will double down on his calls to lower the interest rate. And we'll see specifically in the Fed minutes and in some of the commentary from some of the other board members, if there's starting to be a little bit of a revolution inside the Fed, and if various Fed board members will start dissenting from the rest of the group and saying, yeah, it's time to start cutting rates. Yeah, it's time to start lowering these interest rates. So we'll keep an eye on those details as we head into the early and the middle parts of next week. We'll see what they do. We'll see if we can catch up with economist Dr. Vance again. He's always a wealth of knowledge on this stuff. I'll reach out to him and we'll get him on the show, hopefully coming up here next week. Before we continue this morning, I do want to tell you about The Law Group and thank them for their continued support of the show. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in The Law Group right here in Wilmington. For over 20 years, since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, The Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They are located in downtown Wilmington and just a free phone call away at 910-251-6088. Or you can visit their great website, lawgroupnc.com. That's 910-251-6088. Or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate The Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. We'll grab a quick break and round out a Friday edition coming up after this as the Nick Craig Show rolls on, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook, and of course, 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. And a good Friday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts as we round out what has been a very busy news week here across the southeastern North Carolina, the state and the nation as a whole. But I caught this. I think I want to end the show on this. I caught this post by the Democrats, literally the @TheDemocratsX account yesterday. And they posted this image, and it said it was Trump's America, and it shows grocery prices rising. So this is the chart that the Democrats, the official account for the Democrat Party, tweeted out yesterday. And it shows a variety of different goods, cheese, alcohol, grocery, dairy, produce, and meat. Those are all of the different lines on this chart that shows prices increasing significantly. So they tweeted out this chart saying that, oh, well, this is Trump's America. But just to show you how tone deaf and out of touch Democrats are with the rest of the American people, what this chart really shows is that from 2019 through 2020, up until 2021, grocery store prices were relatively level. I mean, you had little fluctuations here and there. There was a little spike on of the cost of meat back in the latter parts of 2019. But for the most part, all of those numbers and all of those lines are pretty close together. And it shows that for the most part, again, that these grocery store prices were pretty stable. You then get into the middle and latter parts of 2021, and you see these prices absolutely skyrocket. The Democrat Party tweeted this out. And I bring this up because I want to remind you who was in the Oval Office in the middle and latter parts of 2021. Wasn't Donald Trump. It was Joseph Robinette Biden, our great 46th president of the United States. Crooked Joe was in the Oval Office. So the White House responded to this, highlighting the areas in which Joe Biden was president with all of the increases in prices happening while Joe Biden was in the Oval Office. And it just goes to show how tone deaf the Democrat Party is. It just goes to show in their attempt to be smug and to what they call, oh, we're going to own the right. We're going to show them. that even in their own postings, in their own commentary on social media, they can't even prove that they're capable of handling anything. They can't prove that they were good at doing anything at all. They post this image and it shows exclusively that under Joe Biden's watch, the prices of goods for American consumers at the grocery store absolutely freaking skyrocketed. And they're posting this out and saying, oh, this is Trump's America? The whole chart is Joe Biden. All of the increases are under the Democrats' watch. When they claimed, right, that they cared so much about inflation, they were trying to help the American people, trying to provide some relief to them. That's what they claimed. That's what they said. Yet, what did we see? Increases all over the place. Prices absolutely skyrocketing in almost every single sector going on. Yet, they want to claim, oh, well, the reason things are expensive right now is because of Donald Trump. It's been in office 6 months. All of the increases in pricing happened under your watch. And I bring this up because there's been a lot of discussion over the last couple of days here in North Carolina over our United States Senate race. And of course, the midterm elections. And I know it's still far away. We're talking about November of next year. But I think you're going to be surprised with how quickly things happen. How quickly it seems like we immediately transition into the 2026 midterm or the 2026 midterm elections. It's going to happen very, very quickly. And to just kind of lay out the situation that is likely and set to unfold, you've got a Democrat Party that I still believe is struggling to figure out what their identity is. You have a Democrat Party that is struggling to look at their failures of the past. And you don't have to go back again that far to look at some of their more recent failures. All you have to do is go back, you know, less than a year. You go back to the latter parts of the election and into November of last year, and you will see very clearly that the Democrat Party is struggling to connect with the American voters. The Democrat Party is struggling to wrap their head around why people are rejecting their ideas. And I think the answer, there's a couple of different answers to this, but I think it's very simple. I think it's they truly don't want to admit that their ideas are terrible and awful. They are truly unwilling to look into the mirror, look at the things that they claim they care so much about, look at the things that they claim that they support, and ask themselves, are these things that resonate with the American people? Are these things that resonate with the voting bloc, the people that are going to be coming out in 2026 and supporting us? And I'll say this, the Democrats have a golden opportunity in the midterms. Midterm elections are always brutal for the party in charge. And right now, that is the Republicans all over the board, White House, House, and Senate. Right? So the Democrats have a very good opportunity in front of them. And the question is, will they seize the moment? If things don't change dramatically, and we've got a long time to go, right? We're like, what, 16 months, less than, probably about 15, 16 months from next November's election. A lot of time, a lot of things to change. Politics are not an exact science. It is a very dynamic, very hard to state anything for certain in a political cycle, right? Bombshells happen. Public sentiment can adapt and change very quickly, almost on the snap of a finger. Things happen very quickly. I'm not oblivious to that fact, and I'm not stating that anything is certain. But I do have a strong belief that if Democrats don't wake up and start changing their tune, which obviously they're not. Again, this image yesterday tweeted out by the Democrats trying to own the right on grocery store prices, all of the increases happening while they were in charge. And in the in the early part, 2021, they had control over the entire federal government. Joe Biden was in the White House. Democrats had power control in the House and the Senate. So they were the single party in charge. And under their watch, prices inflated and skyrocketed under their watch. So I still believe that they're tone deaf. I still believe that they are struggling to understand how to win an election and understand what ideas they need to run with. And don't get me wrong. there are plenty of things that the Democrats can use as political fodder to secure some level of victory and some level of power. And I just don't know that they're willing and interested in doing that. And this all comes back to the monster that they've created. This all comes back to the fact that they have allowed the radical fringe of their party, the Antifa, the BLM, the Free Palestine, the anti-police, they have allowed these crowds that are on the very far left side of the political spectrum, they have allowed those crowds to come forward and set the narrative. They have allowed those crowds to set the agenda going forward for their party. They're afraid to piss off that group of individuals, so they continue to placate them. They continue to amplify their incredibly radical, unpopular ideas and propose those as modern things for the Democrat Party. And you don't have to go very far. You don't have to look very hard to see that these ideas don't work. I mean, men and women's sports, this is a big issue for the left. This is a big hot button conversation issue for the Democrats. What all of that years of trying to claim that you're a bigot if you don't support a biological male playing or competing in a female sport. You're a bigot if you believe that. They tried to set that narrative for literally years. Lo and behold, Trump gets in the Oval Office, signs an executive order, and completely blows years of their attempts out of the water, like literally with the stroke of a pen, done. And it's because it was an 80-20 political issue. You've heard me say this a lot, and it's an important thing to understand as we get into the midterm elections, as we look ahead to 2028. You need to be able to decipher and determine what these 80-20 political issues are. And the 80-20 issues that the Democrats are running with right now, they're on the wrong side of all of them, right? Complete destruction of Israel, freeing Palestine, that's an 80-20 issue. Protecting so-called or allowing men to compete and participate in women's sports, that's yet again another 80-20 issue. Even on issues like abortion, they're on the wrong side of it. It's an 80-20 issue with the vast majority of the American public. And so these are their main platforms. These are their main policies. And I'm not sure that they're going to have enough time to course correct. I'm not sure that they have the runway that they need to figure out how to reconstruct the narrative, reconstruct the message, and portray that to the American people as they are the party with the ideas. They are the party with the solutions to the problems that the American people are facing. I'm not sure that they're A, willing, and B, have time to actually do it. And so this image yesterday really kind of sparked this reoccurring notion that Democrats are just out of touch. Democrats, as being pointed out in our Rumble live chat this morning, they only have one platform, Orange Man Bad. Absolutely. I mean, you can even look at what's going on with the Epstein situation right now. They think they're getting one over on the Republicans, getting one over on Trump with, oh, we're going to talk about Epstein 24/7 as I glance over this morning. That's what CNN and MSNBC are talking about once again. And as Joseph pointed out on our Facebook live chat this morning and some back and forth, why weren't the Democrats worried about this issue 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago? Republicans have been talking about it the whole time. Republicans are dissenting from President Donald Trump over this issue, right? The left wants to call MAGA a cult. A group of individuals that have no ability to free think, have no ability to have dissenting viewpoints. Trump's a king. Everything he says, MAGA folk just eat up and take as gospel. It's not true. And the example that you guys are running with right now proves that point to a fact. It proves exactly the point that there is dissension within the MAGA movement, that individuals within President Donald Trump's sphere have different viewpoints and different opinions. It's the Democrats that don't. It's the Democrats that sing off of the same old sorry sheet of music consistently. You're seeing it right now with the Jeffrey Epstein saga. Trump's wrong about it. Many prominent individuals on the right have called him out on it, have called for him to release the documents. So how's it a cult? How's it that everybody's just drinking the Trump Kool-Aid when you've got that being said by prominent individuals? And of course, now the media wants to attach themselves to it because they have no morals. They have no trust. They have no honesty. They have no viewers. And so now they're going to hitch their horse to that carriage, or hitch their carriage to that horse, and try and act like they give a damn about Jeffrey Epstein and exposing what was going on. I played that great Greg Gutfeld clip yesterday, which exactly described it. Spare me your outrage over an issue that you didn't care about for years, because now you believe you can get some cheap political points. The left is consistently exposing themselves. The mainstream media, again, one and the same with the Democrat Party, are consistently exposing themselves as dishonest brokers of truth. The American people have realized that. The American people have woken up to that, and they've rejected it. It's why Democrats took such an ass whooping in November of last year. It's why the Democrats are struggling to figure out why they can't win elections and why they can't win over the hearts and minds of the American public and the American voters. Plain and simple. So, again, busy week, kind of looking forward to what we're going to see coming up next week here in North Carolina. The General Assembly is back. They took their July recess a couple of weeks off for state lawmakers. As it stands right now, there are 14 vetoes that the Republican, Democrat Governor Josh Stein has signed. With those 14 vetoes, lawmakers are expected to be overriding a variety of them on coming up as early as next Tuesday. That's when state lawmakers will be back in Raleigh. A lot of those things, they deal with diversity, equity, and inclusion, border security, a lot of the hot-button political issues that Governor Josh Stein did veto. Republicans in the GA will try and deal with that next week. We'll have a continued coverage and really dive into some of the pertinent details on all of that coming up next week. It is set to be a very hot weekend. We've got excessive heat warnings that are set to be in place over the next couple of days. Looking at the latest forecast from WECT, feels like temperatures today plus around 105 degrees, 110 Saturday, 110 on Sunday, real field temperatures between 105 and 110 on Monday. It is going to be a very, very hot couple of days across southeastern North Carolina. So be advised if you've got any outdoor plans or activities. It is going to be an absolute scorcher. Thanks to the Law Group for their continued support. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or visit their website, lawgroupnc.com. That's going to do it for a Friday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Thanks for joining us live, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook, and 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great weekend. We're back with you Monday morning right here on the Nick Craig Show.